The Apostle Paul had a double desire. On the one hand, he wanted to depart this life in order to be with Christ. And on the other hand, he wanted to continue on in the flesh in order to bear more fruit for Christ and the gospel. Most of us know what it means to be in an opinion and caught in two opinions. That is known in philosophy as being on the horns of a dilemma. And we know what it means. Should I marry this person or should I not? Should I take this job or should I not? Should I buy this can of peas or that can of corn? Daily we face dilemmas. In fact, this past week, I had the happy occasion of taking out the young people who had been in our catechism class. They have been memorizing the catechism for the past 6 months. And one completed and the others are near completion. And so we had a special celebration and we decided to go do something fun. There were George Allen Moon and Bridget Lassiter and Tiffany Carlson, 8-year-olds. We decided we would meet at the bowling alley first, and then we would go eat pizza. So we met at the bowling alley. Guess what? On Wednesday, the bowling alley is closed. So we all piled into my car, and we started driving down Rainbow Drive, and the question was, what are we going to do? Remember now, these are 8-year-olds. And so we started talking about some options. We would go to play putt-putt, or we'll go to the Cultural Arts Center, to the Children's Museum. And then I started listening to them talk. And so George Allen Moon said, "Let's go to Florida." And then a chain reaction set in. And Bridget wanted to go to Washington, D.C., and Tiffany wanted to go to Texas. We were indeed on the horns of a dilemma. We ended up at the putt-putt. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a dilemma that is perhaps the weightiest dilemma that most of us will ever face. And that is, should I depart this life in order to be with Christ, or should I remain in order to bear more fruit? Now, I want you to observe, firstly, in verse 23, the desire that Paul had itself. "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." What I want you to note firstly is that this was a spiritual desire. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:24, "O miserable man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh?" The Apostle Paul was after holiness and not happiness. His desire was to be like Christ, and if he could not be as much as like Christ as he could, then he wanted to be with Christ. His desire was to be free of the body of sin. Nature can never free you. You and I may be Christians here this morning, and you may have been a Christian for 50, 60, some of you even longer. But nature will never free you from your sin. It is not natural. Your sin will only finally be dealt with ultimately, finally, when you experience the ultimate emancipation, which will be death. And to be free, shed of this body, that is what Paul's desire. It was a spiritual desire. It wasn't the desire of a coward. It wasn't a man who was contemplating suicide. It was a man who realized that he was in the most powerful conflict that any man could be in. It isn't out here. It isn't other people. It is the conflict within one's own heart. And he wanted to be free. It also came, I said, from a spiritual desire, but also came from a sweet communion with Christ. How else can a man say, I'm hard-pressed in this choice, one to be with Christ, the other to remain here? I say it came from a sweet communion with Christ. And it reminds me of Hopeful and Christian in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. As they made an approach to the celestial city, the city itself was glowing with a light. It was such pureness, such an effervescence of light radiating from the city, which was God itself. And Hopeful and Christian looked upon this celestial city, and John Bunyan said they became sick with desire. Sick from looking at this. They wanted it so bad that it made them sick to think about it. And that is what Paul says. And that is his meaning in this text, that he knew such a communion with Jesus Christ, that he knew what it would mean to be in heaven with him, that he was sick with desire to be free from this body of death, that he may be with Christ. But it was also a constant desire. He says, I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire. He doesn't say I have an occasional desire or want. But he has a desire. It is something that he carries around with him all the time. It is a permanent fixture in his being. He is a man who has faced the realities that life is not going to continue and that there will come a time when life will end. And he carries within him this hope that it may be soon for him. We've looked at the desire. Now look at the nature of the desire again in verse 23. He says, I have a desire to depart. There is a parting and a departing that you and I must face. The parting is the separation of the enjoyments of this life. We must leave them. We must leave the friendships. Indeed, they will be renewed in heaven because there will be recognition. There will be continuation of friendships and acquaintances. And we will know those who have gone on before us. But nevertheless, there must be a parting, a time when we are separated from this life and all of its pleasures and enjoyments, but there will be a departing. That is what he says. Having a desire to depart, he means going to another place. Death is but a departing. It is leaving this present life in order to enter into another place. Elsewhere, the Bible calls death leaving the clay, this body of clay. And elsewhere, it says we are as asleep. Elsewhere, the scripture says it is going home to be with Father. Some desires are good in themselves. For example, most of us desire to be healthy people. Health is something good in itself. But in order to be healthy, some of us from time to time must take some kind of medication. In order to be healthy, we must take the cure. We may not like it. Those people who chew on their medicine and their pills always have the bitterest time. If they would just swallow, it would be a lot easier. But you see, death is to medicine what Christ is to our health. It is all right to desire to be healthy, but the thing that we really desire, the thing that is good for us in itself, is Jesus Christ. He is the desire. But in order to find Jesus Christ, ultimately and finally, do you know what happens? You've got to take the cure. And the cure is death. You've got to swallow the pill if you want to get to Christ. It is Christ that we desire. That leads us to speak thirdly of the object of the desire. For Paul says here, I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ. Christ was his desire. Did you notice that in verse 23, Paul did not say, I desire to be in heaven? Why? Because heaven without Christ is not heaven. He said, I desire to be with Christ. You see, there are men, carnal men, who talk about heaven. Only a Christian can really say that he desires to depart this life, except some very depressed and suicidal people. But only a Christian can say with a healthy perspective, I desire to depart and to be with Christ. To be with Christ is heaven. Richard Sibbes, a 17th century Puritan, said, all the delicacies of this life without Christ are but as a funeral banquet. Paul loved Christ more than he did heaven. And the reason that Paul loved Christ more than any other possible enjoyment is because Christ is the best of all. Did you hear me? Christ is the best of all men and women. Not our pleasures, not the greatest place to eat, not even our relationship with our spouses or our families or our children or our parents. It is Christ, and it is Christ alone. Christ is best. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then maybe you can say with the Apostle Paul, I'm hard-pressed in this because my desire is to be with Christ in heaven. To be with Christ is the springhead of all happiness. It is to be in our natural element. Everything flourishes better in its natural element. I mean, some things do well in its native environment. For example, fish obviously do better in water, and birds do better flying around, and worms in the ground. Since I have been here in Gadsden, we have a great practice. You had it before I came, and that is of placing Easter lilies all around the church at Easter time. And some of you have been kind enough to give us an Easter lily from time to time, and I have taken my Easter lilies and I have planted them year after year. I have a big Easter lily bed, but I planted the Easter lilies in a pine bed. And I didn't know that Easter lilies do not like pine beds until Ben Kemp told me. And so I dug them up and I planted them somewhere else. And you're right, Ben. They did a whole lot better in another spot. Everything does better in its own native environment. And that is true with the Christian. The element of the Christian is Jesus Christ. In Him is life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Friends, your element is not this earth. It is not merely the pleasures and the opportunities, your bank account. That is not your element. Your element is Jesus Christ, and you do better in Jesus Christ, and you'll grow in Jesus Christ if you stay in Him, but your ultimate element is finally to be in heaven with Christ. What are the worm-eaten pleasures of this life, friends, compared to being with Jesus Christ? What are the honors of this earth but shadows of the true glory and honor that we have in His presence? Paul also goes on to say that there is a conflict in his own heart. And so let's consider the conflict in Paul's desire next. He says, I am hard pressed between the two. He said, I am hard pressed. He said that because in this life we are imperfect, right? We are imperfect in this life, but in the life to come, we're going to be perfect. And perfection is better than imperfection. Even though you and I have the Holy Spirit, even though when we go through difficulties and trials and struggles and we pray, oh God, help me and bless me and comfort me, and the Holy Spirit comes to us and ministers to us and we feel encouraged, even those comforts, though, are mingled with trouble as long as we live in this flesh. And we'll also have trouble, we can be sure, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, because we still have the old nature. He said, the good that I want to do, I do not, and the bad, the evil that I would not, that is what I do. And as long as you and I are living in this flesh, we'll always have the conflict between it. But there is pure joy and unlimited happiness because we'll be holy in Him. Our joys are also mingled with sorrows even in this life. Good has happened. God has blessed many of you. I hope all of you. But how often have you said, when something good has happened in your life, how often have you said this? Now I'm looking over my shoulder. Meaning I'm waiting for the next bad thing to happen. Things were going too good and we knew that something bad had to happen to us. Well, heaven is that place where no evil, no bad can ever be anticipated, but it will be a place of perfect joy and unalloyed happiness in Christ. Therefore, that's why Paul said in Philippians 1:23, I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Christ is best. Therefore, don't fear death. We've had a lot of funerals in our church in the past 10 years. I dare say that I probably have had more funerals than just about any other preacher, percentage-wise, in this presbytery, maybe in the PCA. But I'll tell you one thing. I have seen Christians in this congregation who die well. And I know some right now who have said to me these words in so many words, the words of the Apostle Paul, people in the past that I have visited in the nursing home. Someone said, why does God let people live so long? She said, I'm ready to go home. I want it over. Death is a grim sergeant, Richard Sibb said. A grim sergeant, but it's a sergeant that we must meet who opens the door to a palace. And in this palace, we have placed upon us beautiful garments, the snow-white righteousness of Jesus Christ and His purity, and we experience a joy. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid. Death is a departure to a better condition. It is like in the Old Testament, the Red Sea or the Jordan River, something that we have to pass through, and it is an enemy, yes, in itself. But listen to me, death is harmless. Remember what Paul said? He said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because Jesus Christ, in the power of His resurrection, has removed the sting from death, because you're going to live forever. And when you die, your spirit immediately goes to be with Christ, and one day when Jesus Christ appears in the glory of His kingdom, He is going to come in your body, which may have decomposed and been nothing, now is going to be recomposed by the great composer of the universe, and the molecular structure is going to be put back together. And your spirit will be reunited to your body. I said earlier, none but a Christian can talk like this. If you're outside the church and in a secular context, people who talk about desiring to be in heaven and desiring to be with Christ are considered crazy, and somebody would tell us we ought to find a counselor to talk to. I said that carnal men, worldly men, do talk about heaven, but they don't talk about Christ. The heaven that a worldly man talks about and desires is a heaven that is manufactured out of his own imagination. It is not the heaven that is revealed in Scripture, because that heaven is where Christ is. And worldly men do not want Christ. And if Christ is in heaven, they don't want to be there. And they won't. But Paul goes on to say, and suggest in this verse, in verse 23, that he desires to be with Christ, and the reason he desires to be with Christ and to be in heaven is because God always saves, for the Christian, God always saves the best to the last. The best to the last. God's last works are better than His first works. For example, the new heaven and the new earth that we read about in Revelation 20, 21, 22, is a greater work than the first heaven, the first creation. What God is going to do with this planet when Jesus Christ comes again is going to be greater than anything this planet has ever seen. And His last work is going to be better than His first work. Just like Jesus at the marriage feast in Cana, you know, where Jesus changed the water into wine, and it was said that the second wine was better than the first wine, so God's second work is better than His first work. Yes, it is a miracle as we watch a new child come into the earth. But do you know what a greater miracle is that than that? It is even a greater miracle for a man's nature to be changed, for a teenager's heart to be turned completely around and come to Christ and experience not the first birth, but the second birth, and to be born again. That is a greater miracle, because it is a miracle of the Spirit and the supernatural. The spiritual is better than the natural. God's last works are better than His first works. So that in the kingdom, what God is going to do at the end, as you and I face that final day, is going to be better than what He has done to this point. Why? Because we have the door of death, and then there is heaven, and then there is joy unspeakable. There was a speaker at Gadsden High School not too long ago. One of the kids told me about it, who said something like, young people, you need to enjoy your lives right now, because these are the best years of your life. That's what he told these teenagers. He said, these are the best years of your life. And one of the teenagers told me, he said, if these are the best years, I hate to see what's coming. If there is any age, if time travel were possible and we could go back, if there is any age I would avoid, it would be 14 years old. Maybe 15, 16, 17. Do you know what I mean? I think we've forgotten to appreciate such words by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Come grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. We don't live in a very hopeful culture, and we don't give our young people hope, because they don't see much to hope for. But Jesus Christ gives hope, because what Jesus Christ does at the latter end is better than what He did even at the beginning. Therefore, death is sweetened when we realize it is but the way to Christ. That's what I'm saying. And that is why the Apostle Paul says it is far better for him to go and to be with Christ. I received a letter this past week that made me happy. It's a letter from one of our members. She received an evangelistic letter that shared the gospel that I sent out. I think you probably got one too. This lady can't write, so she asked her daughter to write. And this is what her daughter said. Quote, Mother said, please tell you she knows Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and feels assured He holds her soul in His hand. She prays each day for Jesus to lead and guide her and help her to keep her faith strong. Thank you for your love and concern. She plans, now listen to this. She plans to see you in our heavenly home in God's time. Isn't that great? I save all these letters like this because I like to go back and renew my own faith just by being reminded of how God works and He gives joy through just such a one as this. And so as we close this morning, I want to ask you, can you say with the Apostle Paul, it is far better to depart and to be with Christ? Now, I could say a lot more about this text. I could talk about Paul's sacrificial decision to stay. I could talk about his desire to bear fruit. But this is the only question I want to leave you with this morning. Can you say, it's far better for me to depart and to be with Christ, and then decide I'll stay here as long as God wants me, but I know heaven waits for me? Dear friend, if you do not know that heaven waits for you because Christ is there, I would implore you to know before you leave this place today. Will you speak to me or to Mr. Cooksey? Let's pray.